Sure, other stations promise outstanding content, but when it's time to deliver, they fall flat on their ridiculous faces. Enter LA Talk Radio, a cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk station that delivers totally original content without any commercials. Log on to latalkradio.com and get involved with the best talk radio station on the internet. LA Talk Radio, we say what we want.
The morning show that's on your side. But then again, so is appendicitis.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Charlotte, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Friday, March 14th. You were coughing as I had the mics on.
Oh, I'm sorry.
So people are going, wow.
Sorry.
It's okay.
I didn't realize. Hey, everyone.
It's okay. After the intro, the mics go on. Good morning, everyone. Good morning, Charlotte.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm good.
You look all happy and refreshed and everything.
I know. I am.
You are?
Yeah.
Cool.
My best friend's here.
Yeah, she is. And you brought her to the studio.
I did.
And her name is Sarah Ashley. And don't you dare call her Sarah. It's Sarah Ashley. She gave me a dirty look when I just called her Sarah. So, God forbid. So... Now, that's cool. So you always went by this name, right? I mean, you didn't just go by Sarah? Never.
No, it's... People don't really get it, but...
Yeah,
I know. Keep saying the two names.
Exactly, because it goes with it. Like a Marianne or something, right?
Okay. Right. Exactly.
We get it. Okay. So this is your friend from the university, right?
Yeah,
from college.
From school, yeah.
And so you guys went together at the same time. Now, do you live in Florida still?
I live in Tampa.
Oh, really?
I'm from Sarasota.
Oh, so you're originally from Sarasota?
Right.
Oh, okay. So you stayed in Florida. You didn't go far for school and everything.
No.
Yeah. No. So we're talking about Florida State, right?
Yeah, we went to Florida State. We both graduated in editing, writing, and media, which was kind of the journalism equivalent at Florida State. They didn't have that, but that was the closest thing they had to it.
Oh, I didn't realize that's what you took. That's
cool.
Yeah. Yeah, I was interested in journalism, too, when I was in college and stuff. But then, you know, I mean, I was on the school newspaper and everything like that. But then I realized it's too much work. You got to chase people for interviews and stuff, you know. I didn't like that at all.
That's when I discovered the camera. And I was like, wow, this is a lot easier than writing an article.
Yeah.
I can just say what I need to say on camera and I don't have to write.
Yeah, I know. So did you notice how far she lives from here, Charlotte?
It was a good 5-hour flight.
I mean, Charlotte lives like a walk from here.
Yeah.
And we moved the studio especially for her so she doesn't have to go far. So
when we're on our way, I was like, okay, so this is where I live. And then literally 2 seconds later, we drive onto the 101 and we're parking. It's like, wow.
Yeah. You see, so did you get a taste of LA traffic yet?
I did. It wasn't too bad yesterday. It wasn't, surprisingly. After it was, oh my gosh, okay, this is a story. So we went on a hike yesterday to Griffith Park.
Nice.
And it was beautiful. We didn't just do the Griffith Observatory, we hiked way further up. And it's like rock climbing. I mean, we're on our hands
really?
And knees.
Slipped
wow.
Literally. Times.
Slipped a few times, like on the dirt.
Wow.
So we get to the very top. I mean, it's 360 views. You can look on my Facebook. I uploaded a photo.
Wow.
And I had my I only had my car key with me. And I was like, my car key's gone.
Wow. Wow.
So I start freaking out. I'm like, oh my God, we have to go. We have to go. And I'm like, do you want a photo? Like, let me take a photo of you. And then we have to go. We have to retrace our steps and try and find my car key.
Wow.
So we're retracing our steps at Griffith Park in all the mud, the dirt, trying to find just a black Honda car key.
Wow.
Obviously, we don't find it. So then we have a mutual friend that's out here that went to school with us. And we call him. I'm like, can you please come get us? And he's probably one of the worst drivers in traffic.
Really?
He has so much anxiety. He may be listening right now and probably is going to kill us later. But
we won't mention names then.
So we were driving in rush hour. Then I had to get my key. And then obviously my house key was in my car.
Oh,
so I had
wow.
to be let into my apartment. And it was just a mess.
What a story. Wow.
It was a 2-hour trek.
It was. Yeah. And in rush hour. It was in 4 o'clock that we went down the 101 four times.
Wow.
So.
Yeah. Well, welcome to LA.
Thank you.
Yeah. It could have been a lot easier if you hadn't lost the key. But
I was I'm such a bad host. We've only been here for 4 or 5 hours. And
great story.
Yeah, it is. It is a great story. But my God, I would have been so pissed.
Oh my gosh. Thank God I had a spare key. That's all I can say. Thank God.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, and those keys are expensive. You know that, right?
I know.
Because they have a computer chip inside. But where did you keep your key that it fell?
Well, it was in my top.
Okay.
And because I had a top and shorts on.
Right.
Both of us were just carrying our phones, obviously, because we have to take a photo.
Yeah, exactly.
But I didn't want to take my whole chunk of keys.
Right.
So I just took that key off and I don't know. I mean, we were literally climbing.
Yeah.
And we were sliding down parts because our feet lost
the grip.
So who knows, it could be anywhere.
Yeah.
And I was just like, this is terrible.
Yeah, next time hang it around your neck or
something.
Or
in my shoe, something. There was so many better places I could have put it.
I know. But it just, it seems like life is so unpredictable. You never know what's going to happen.
Never know.
You get up, I'm going to have a great day, and then you're like, shit, where's my key now? changed my whole day now,
And
have to call somebody.
Seriously.
Good thing at least you had your phone, so you're not totally stranded.
Completely. And all I was thinking when we were in the car is what if someone picked up my key and has stolen my car?
Right.
That would really, really suck. I would do. It's bad enough to lose the key, but then if the car gets stolen.
Right.
So on the way up, back up to Griffith Park to get when we finally got back up there with my extra key, my heart kind of sunk a little when we first looked, because I parked a little bit further up than I thought I did. So I was like,
oh, the car's gone, huh?
But it was there. So we were okay.
Wow. So, do you go through adventures like that back home too?
Not usually, no. We go through adventures together, though.
Yeah, that's probably what happened,
Vacation.
Yeah, there you go.
It always seems like when we're together, things happen.
Really?
And we ended with In-N-Out, so.
Exactly.
In-N-Out Burger.
Yeah.
That is. Okay. Did you notice that In-N-Out, something peculiar, outside? I don't know if you noticed this, but they have you guys don't have In-N-Out back in Florida, right? So is that a California thing or something, Charlotte?
Yeah.
Yeah. You see, I've lived here all these years. I didn't even realize it was only in California, Southern California. So, but at any rate, when you drive in front of it next time, notice that there are two trees in the shape of an X. They go like this. And in front of each In-N-Out, you'll see that.
Really?
And yeah, so it's sort of a secret thing that is not it's not a known thing, but if you notice it, it's just they have a secret menu. Did you know that?
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
I did know that.
Yeah, so they do have some special fries or something.
Yeah, fries. We
animal
got them.
Fries. Yeah. Oh, you got them? Yeah. They're not so secret anymore. Yeah?
Oh, that was the best. That was our reward for after everything.
Right.
Let's go get In-N-Out.
Let's get In-N-Out. What the hell? We worked off the calories in advance,
seriously.
Right? Yeah. But how was the hike? Was there a part of it that you enjoyed until you found the key?
It was stunning, wasn't it?
It was beautiful. I don't see that in Tampa.
Yeah.
It's pretty flat.
It is flat, right?
It's 360 views. It's Mount Hollywood, I think is what it's called. And it's just absolutely stunning. You can see downtown. You can see Santa Monica. On a clear day, you can see Catalina Island.
Wow.
Around the back, you can see the mountains that go up to La Cañada area.
Uh-huh.
And I don't even know what the other places are, but it's just beautiful. It's 360 views.
Wow, amazing.
Stunning.
Yeah, that's why people like to hike in LA, because there's a lot of places to go.
Yeah.
A lot of nature and things like that, even though people don't realize that. They only see the city and the freeways, but we do have some great places to go to. Although they're in the city, too. It's not like you're getting away from it.
No, and that's the best thing that about L.A.
Yeah.
And, I mean, you were kind of saying something about this yesterday. Her nickname? So I was about to say Sushi. That's her nickname. Sarah Ashley. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Sushi's good.
It goes way back. Yeah. Elementary school.
Do you at least like sushi?
I do.
Oh,
I
you
it.
Do? Okay.
I've seen a lot of sushi restaurants around here.
Oh, yeah. Are you kidding? Every second restaurant is sushi here.
Yeah.
Everything's trendy here, you know?
I see juice bars, too.
Juice bars.
Everywhere.
And, yeah. I mean, there's everything, you know, like salad places really like light food and that because... Yeah, everybody's health conscious here now.
That's
you know?
What we're thinking for lunch, a juice and a salad.
Yeah.
That sounds good.
That's true. You know where you can go is where I send people is Sweet Butter. Do you know where that is on Ventura Boulevard?
I do.
You sit outside.
The one on the corner?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
It's like a cafe. Right. That's where you should go.
I went there with my mom for the first time and... So good. We have to go there.
Did you? Yeah. Either there. You can always go for lunch across the street to Stanley's or something. You know, they have great food, salads and stuff like that. So there's definitely a lot of places to go.
That was a good idea. Yeah. Thank you for that.
Yeah. It's like I live almost across the street from there. So I always drive by and I see all the people. There's always people sitting outside because it's just so beautiful, you know. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, they charge a little too much for my taste for what they offer as far as food. But you have to understand, you're paying for the experience, too.
Yeah, it's a nice place that yeah. It's nice that it's outside. On like you can just I love people watching.
Yeah.
And Sarah Ashley does, too. It's just our favorite thing to do.
Yeah.
And just sitting there is the perfect place to people watch.
Yeah, that's true. Absolutely. So, I mean, did you notice that people are like different from Florida so far?
A little bit.
Yeah.
We went down into West Hollywood last night.
Oh, you did? That must have been an experience. Did you walk the sidewalks and stuff?
Well, we went to Sir, which is Lisa Vanderpump from The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, her restaurant. Or bar. So we went there first, and then my friend works at the Abbey. So we went there afterwards, but we didn't realize that it's a gay bar.
Oh, okay. And did you know that West Hollywood is a gay area?
Yeah,
you
I knew that, but I just, okay. I don't know. I hear so much about the Abbey, and I've been before, but there's male dancers around, and I mean, I enjoyed it, but
I'm sure you did.
All guy friends that were with it weren't feeling it.
Yeah, what? Yeah, where did you take us here? Oh, man, I would have been pissed. But it's fun, you know, right?
It's so much fun.
It's fun,
I mean,
yeah.
We had one place we were, like, singing to Britney Spears. Like, it was just such a fun... It was our perfect night.
Really?
It was our perfect night.
That's cool, yeah. I mean, I hear these gay bars are really cool, you know? I mean, even my son who's straight and his friends are straight, but he has one gay friend. So they go to a gay bar in West Hollywood. He always picks up women there.
Oh, quickest way.
Straight women, you know?
Right.
And yeah, so.
They play great music. They really do.
Yeah.
They have the best music taste.
Yeah, that's true.
It was
true.
A lot of fun.
But you got to know where to go if you want to pick up the women, you know. When I was in my 20s, my early 20s, I remember they used to have Chippendales here. And we would go. That's where women go for male dancers. And so I thought about it. You know, I don't know if I actually thought about it or I read about it or somebody said something. But it occurred to me that these women at the end of the night must be pretty horny, right? So if you go there, it's pretty much a sure thing, right? So sure enough, I get there. I went with a friend of mine. And there's a line of guys waiting to get in, you know, and for after the show and stuff. So, whoops, we're getting the guests calling in. So we'll go back to that in a minute. Let's go ahead and take that. Good morning. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi, this is Eric Mazel. I'm a guest.
Yes. Eric, good morning to you. How are you?
I'm terrific. How are you?
Good, good. So it's Eric Mazel. I wasn't sure how to pronounce it, but now we know.
That's it, exactly.
Yeah. Where are you calling us from today?
San Francisco Bay Area, a little town called Walnut Creek.
Nice.
Oh, nice. Is it nice? I mean, have you been to Walnut Creek?
Mm-hmm. It's beautiful. I've seen so many photos of. I have friends from up there, and it's gorgeous.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I do happen
to. We're in the warm valley, so we don't get the fog. We have pretty good weather.
Nice. Wow, nice. Have you lived there all your life?
No, I'm a New Yorker. I grew up in Brooklyn, born in the Bronx, went to school in Manhattan, but I've been in California for the last 30 years. So
oh, okay.
I guess I'm a Californian by now, although I'm still a New Yorker.
Yeah, I guess you're always a New Yorker, right? That's what they say, you know.
And, it's really true. When I go back, that's home, no matter how long I've been here.
Yeah, that's true. So what brought you to California? Was it career? Was it a woman? I mean, what was it?
Wasn't a woman. In fact, I just gotten divorced, so I wasn't quite ready for the next woman. I had been stationed at Fort Ord in California, so I knew the territory. And my whole family started moving out this way from New York. My sister moved out, my brother moved out, my mother moved out. So it just became natural to come out here. Plus, once you're here and you see the weather and you know what the winters are like back east, it's really hard to go back there.
Don't want to leave.
I agree with you. I didn't want to leave. I didn't even want to leave Fort Ord. I didn't even want to leave advanced infantry training.
Wow. So you were a military man for a while.
Well, I enlisted in 1965, a long time ago now. I had flunked out of Brooklyn College.
Uh-huh.
I started college way too young at 16 and didn't know what I was doing. And
oh, wow.
There were girls involved then, and so it was easy to flunk out.
Yeah. So were you really smart if you went to college at 16?
I was smart, but also New York had a program. I don't know if it still exists. It was called the SP program, Special Progress Program, where you could skip eighth grade by taking some test or being recommended or something. And many of my peers and I skipped eighth grade, so we were all a year younger than most kids.
Right.
So many of us graduated at 16 and a half, at 17, rather than at 18. So there were an awful lot of us going into college way young. This is, of course, Vietnam War era. It was not the smartest time to flunk out of college, but what did I know?
Yeah, right.
You know, I couldn't tolerate classes, and I thought I was a physicist type, and so I was taking calculus and physics and this and that.
Wow.
And I really did not want to be doing that.
Oh, wow.
So I flunked out, and then shortly thereafter, I knew I would be drafted. So instead of being drafted, I enlisted.
Sounds
because
good.
At that time, I think it's still true, but at that time, you could enlist to go to a location. So I enlisted to go to Korea because I thought Korea wasn't Vietnam. That was probably a smart choice.
Yeah.
In fact, it was a crazy choice because they could have sent me to Korea and then Vietnam.
That's true.
But I wasn't thinking it through at any rate. So I enlisted in 65 and I got out in 68.
I see. Wow. Okay. So you've lived in California and stuff, and so I see here you're a psychotherapist, a teacher, a coach, and an author. And you've done quite a bit. I mean, you've written about 40 books, you know.
I've written about 50 books. I like to say it that way because
right.
I want my peeps, who are very often writers,
right.
to recognize that we're all going to have things that never sell. I have 10 or 15 books that never sold. You still have to write them, though. You can't tell beforehand.
That's true.
Which are the ones that are going to work.
That's true.
You know?
So I have a
ton of manuscripts in drawers, just like you know, all writers do, the things that never really did work.
Right. So how did you get into psychotherapy?
Well, I started out, as I say, in science, but I wasn't really in science. That was just a youthful fancy. And then when I got out of the Army, my major was philosophy, which is the kind of major you have when you have no idea what you were doing.
Yeah, right.
You know, and then I started writing fiction. That's really, my life was as a writer. I had a life as a ghostwriter. You could give me a title for any book, and I could write you a book in a month. I was that kind of person.
Wow.
And so for a decade, I wrote fiction and did ghostwriting. But it wasn't bringing enough money. I was married at that point. We had small children. Didn't feel like the authentic thing to do to keep writing and not making enough money. So that's when I retooled and became a California licensed psychotherapist. And I began working with creative and performing artists right away because I was just interested in their issues, my issues. I knew how hard it was, how hard this racket is, how many emotional challenges there are, how many practical challenges there are to live the creative life. So I started working with creative and performing artists as a therapist a long time ago now, more than 30 years ago.
Mm.
And then at some point, I didn't really like the therapy model. I didn't think I was treating mental disorders. I thought I was just dealing with folks with problems. And so I segued into coaching, and I've been doing creativity coaching for the last 25 years or so.
Wow, very interesting. So you've written some books, but what stood out for me is you've written a couple, at least on depression, at least one called Rethinking Depression. How did you get involved in that? I mean, is that something that touched you personally? Because I know that people usually, get into mental health care and stuff when they've been through something like that, where they can relate to it. Is that the same case with you?
That's absolutely true, that's generally the case. It wasn't the case for me. Mm-hmm. I write on subjects that haven't touched me too personally, subjects like depression and anxiety and addiction. I write on them because creative and performing artists experience this. That's where it came up for me. As I worked with more and more creative and performing artists, those are the sorts of issues they experience.
Right.
And I wanted to help them understand that a lot of the so-called depression that they were experiencing was existential in nature. It wasn't necessarily biological or psychological. It was that experience of wondering whether their work really mattered and having trouble keeping meaning afloat. It's really hard for creative, in a way in which it's not hard for a baker or a physician or a lawyer or somebody to keep meaning afloat. They kind of know why they're doing what they're doing. That sense of meaning comes and goes for artists. You know, does anyone need another photograph? Does anyone need another, some more pigment on canvas? Does anyone need another poem? It's kind of hard for artists to keep meaning afloat. So I began to see to what extent they were suffering from what I was calling existential depression. I did a book on that called The Van Gogh Blues that a lot of people have resonated with, that they understand that the depression they're experiencing isn't psychological or biological in nature or social or anything else. It's this existential thing of not really believing that what they're doing matters.
Wow.
So that was my entree into depression.
Right.
Then I got more interested in it, and I also became part of the critical psychiatry movement. That is the movement that doesn't quite believe in our current mental health labeling system or in that book that therapists use, the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual.
Right.
So then I did a book called Rethinking Depression, which talks a lot about that, about the mistaken ways in which we are labeling things nowadays and how we might do that better.
Right.
Did you have to do a lot of research to be able to write a book about, these are intense issues serious issues, but usually when people have been through the situation, they find it easier to advise people. So did you have to do a lot of research to kind of know which route you wanted to go down?
Not exactly research. There were some things I certainly didn't know, and that's why, for instance, when I did a book on what's the only recovery program for artists, I did a book called Creative Recovery. There I enlisted the help of an addiction specialist, Susan Rayburn, because there were things I didn't know about the addiction movement and the recovery movement and all of that. So there are times, of course, when I don't know things. But I've worked with so many clients, and one of the ways I operate is that when I want to learn something, I enlist people, I invite people to join me in a cyberspace group for free to work on whatever it is I think is of interest. So I may get 200 or 300 folks who will come aboard one of these free groups and we'll work together, and I'll learn from them about what actually works. A lot of what I do is completely reality-based in the sense that I'll say to people, okay, let's work together for 6 weeks on X, and this week let's try this, and please report at the end of the week and let me know how this works for you. And by doing it that way, I get lots of information for the books, and I also begin to understand what really works. I have a book coming out in the fall called Life Purpose Boot Camp, which plays a little bit on the military background, but it's about how to make life purpose choices and how to make meaning in life. There, too, I had a few hundred people come aboard to do this for free, to do my life purpose boot camp. And so the book naturally emerged from my work with these folks.
What does the boot camp entail?
Well, it's an 8-week class, and it entails a lot, because if we're going to make real changes in life and understand what our life purposes are, we have to, first of all, become the person equal to living our life purposes. So there's a personality upgrade part to this work, and who wants to do that? But that's necessary. you know, if we have shadows, if we have weaknesses, if we have whatever we have, that's going to prevent us from living our life purposes. So there's a personality upgrade piece. There's also a changing circumstances piece. If the centerpiece of what's wrong with your life is that you hate your job, we could talk about that all week long, all month long, all year long. We could talk about that till the end of time. You actually have to change your job.
Right.
And that's not easy to do in, you know, a tough economy. That's never easy to do. So a lot of the work of Life Purpose Bootcamp, and that's why I'm using the bootcamp metaphor, because it's work,
yeah,
is doing things like upgrading your personality and looking your circumstances square in the eye. Then there are plenty of other things you have to do, like understanding what meaning opportunities you want to seize in life. Most people haven't thought about which things actually provoke the experience of meaning in them. They haven't thought about meaning that way as something that's a psychological experience that they can provoke in themselves, that they can influence. So that's a kind of learning in boot camp that's quite new for folks, the idea that they can create a menu of meaning opportunities and their own personal mix of meaning opportunities and begin to look at life in a new way.
Yeah.
Wow.
Sounds interesting. Eric Maisel, you do a lot of different things. I mean, you know, you totally have devoted your life to this and motivating people and everything. You guys can go to ericmaisel.com, M-A-I-S-E-L, and you can find out about everything, about the boot camp and all the workshops and everything. I see you have, yeah, so, I mean, your website is a wealth of information. And, you know, it seems like at this point you know what you're talking about. Now,
although I would like to say that there's an awful lot I don't know, and in the mental health profession, it's hard for folks to say that they don't know things. I wish we would confess a little more how little we know.
That's
about
true.
How I agree
the
with you.
Mind
works.
I know. So now, what is your view on psychological or psychiatric medication? I mean, are you like totally opposed to that? Because from what you're saying, it seems like you're talking about more like meaning, yes. existential things, you know.
That's exactly right. I'm totally opposed to calling them medication. They're chemicals with strong effects,
right.
And you may want the effects. I hope that distinction is clear. You know, you need an underlying illness for the thing to be called a medication, and I don't believe there's an underlying illness. I think there are things like sadness, monetized, and what have you. We have no understanding of any organic connection between something going on underneath and these so-called mental disorders. We have no understanding of that whatsoever.
Right, but we do see
so
that the medication...
you want a chemical... Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
I'm sorry, but I mean, obviously, there are like thousands, maybe millions of cases where you see that medication saves people's lives, and that's why I don't understand that kind of view, so maybe you can explain it.
Oh, they're yes, let me say it again. They are chemicals with strong effects, and you may want the effects. It may save your life.
Right.
Just like if you want a certain effect, let's say you want to get high, you take a chemical. If you want an effect,
right,
there's a chemical to take. These chemicals, like antidepressants, have effects.
Right.
And if you're feeling suicidal, deeply emotionally distressed, you may want what these chemicals can do. I want no misunderstanding there. You may absolutely want what these chemicals can do, but to call them medication means that they're treating some illness, and I don't believe there's an illness there. What I believe is happening is that you're taking a chemical with an effect you want.
Right.
I hope that distinction is clear. I'm absolutely not saying don't take these chemicals.
Right.
Just don't call them medicine. You wouldn't call scotch medicine. You wouldn't call cigarettes medicine, but cigarettes have an effect. They'll relax you.
Right. Well,
also,
you know, I mean,
people are hooked.
I guess that's a controversial thing, because I can tell you that from experience, I've seen people that, you know, I mean, it's not like you might say we don't have any proof or evidence or so forth, but I've seen people where their outlook on life changed completely when they took medication, you know. And I mean, I'm totally like for therapy and everything, because you have to deal also with the problems you have in your life and stuff because of what you're suffering biologically. But
absolutely.
I mean, I've seen it. I've seen people.
Well, but we're a little hooked on the language here. You want to call it medicine, and I understand that. I'm not going to quarrel.
No, I'm just saying that...
But you can change a mood
right.
with chemicals. We know that.
Right.
And so what you're saying is you've seen people's moods changed or them improved in all sorts of ways. Think of laughing gas at the dentist.
Right.
Changes your mood... But you wouldn't say that you're taking laughing gas to cure the illness of something.
Right.
You know, you're taking it because it has a certain effect to reduce your anxiety. As I say, we're probably just, you know, semi-quarreling about.
Yeah. No, I don't mean to. I don't mean to give you a hard time. Yeah.
Ultimately, it makes a difference whether you think of these things as chemicals you want or medication. That does ultimately make a difference.
Okay. Well, that, you know, point well taken. Obviously you've done a lot of work on this, and I was just trying to clarify some things.
Absolutely.
That I've experienced.
It's a great question. The same with psychotherapy. Yeah. Am I for it? I'm for talk.
Yeah.
Talk helps.
Right.
To give it the fancy name of psychotherapy makes it sound way more scientific than it in fact is.
That's
true. Kind of
useful. So you don't
talk.
Like the names that are classified with?
It's about the labels. That's right. I'm trying to be clear here. I'm not fighting with the fact that people are suffering and need help and that these things may help.
Right.
I'm all for all of that. It's the labeling.
Right.
And especially the labeling of kids, which is such a sad affair. There are so many kids nowadays on 4 or 5 psychiatric medicines for 4 or 5 mental health disorders. It's really not fair to them.
That's true. That's true. Eric, well, very interesting. You know, you've opened up a lot of discussions and stuff, which is amazing. And everybody can go and get his books and go on the website. It's ericmazel.com. And are your books available only from your website? Are they available on?
No, they're widely available. They're available on Amazon and wherever books are sold, as we used to say.
Awesome. Eric, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
And thanks for having me.
Thank you.
Absolutely. And all the best to you. I'm definitely going to check it out. And everybody, there's like workshops and everything. So I think if people are not believers in medication and so forth, this is definitely perfect way to grow and get a little more experience in how to live life to its fullest. You know, with a purpose. So kudos to you for that, Eric. And sure. And all the best to you.
Have a good day.
You too. Bye bye.
Bye bye.
There's a lot to say about mental illness and stuff, you know. So.
And I do somewhat agree with the labeling factor of that, because when you label different things, there's such a negative connotation to the label that it makes everyone else, and even to yourself, I think. I think the label mentally affects also.
No, that's true. I mean, the words we use, I think, affect how we look at things and stuff, for sure. And as Sarah Ashley will tell you, it's all true.
It is.
Yeah. So, cool. We're happy to have you in L.A.,
happy to be here.
Yeah.
I'm so happy.
I know. I'm sure. It's like, well, how long haven't you seen each other since you moved here?
Yeah, we graduated in
May.
Yeah. Wow, that's pretty cool. So what have you gone on to do after college?
I work in insurance in Clearwater, so I have a little bit of a commute. I'm trying to get into marketing and PR, so I'm doing a little bit of that with the company I work for.
And you did take communications in school and stuff.
I did.
So that
I
helps.
Minored in communications.
Yeah. So that's cool. I mean, do you like what you do, or do you want to go into something else?
I would prefer to go into something else.
Yeah. You don't seem to be like an insurance kind of person. Yeah.
I didn't know. I didn't think. I thought you were in PR. I didn't think you worked in insurance.
Segueing into it. You know, you have to take a job sometimes when you get out of school.
No, definitely. Anything. And it's easy.
And I admire that. You know, a lot of people are like, you know, if it's not something I like, I'm not going to get a job, you know. And it's terrible.
And this time, you have to take it.
Yeah,
you have to work and at the same time plan your career, you know.
And the bills.
Exactly.
That's all that matters.
Yeah.
Food on the table and a shelter.
Exactly. I mean, your parents are not going to pay your way through life forever, you know.
Exactly.
And that's what some kids don't realize, and they fail to launch, like they say.
Yeah.
So this is cool. So do you have plans for the future? So you want to do PR, marketing, things like that.
Right.
Did you take any business in school at all?
I didn't. I also minored in sociology.
Oh, okay.
I'm not really sure how that's going to help me.
Yeah. It does help. It does help. I love all these liberal arts things, you know. I mean,
good
they're
too.
Yeah, they're a lot of fun, you know. So So, sociology will help you with something. You know?
Major that we did was really cool, though.
We learned a lot.
It was like super, a lot about technology, too, in like the digital age.
Yeah, like it's a new major at Florida State. And I mean, were we the first class to graduate from it? Oh, we were one of the first. Yeah. And I mean, the classes we could take were cool. Really cool.
Yeah.
And some of them were very tedious. I mean, rhetoric. I was still, we took it
rhetoric.
Together. And I still don't know what that word means.
Really?
I still don't know what it means. Oh my God, it was
What's the word again?
Rhetoric.
Oh, rhetoric. Okay, so now you know?
No.
You
I
don't
still
know.
Don't know what it means.
Okay, it's like rhetoric is the way someone justifies something, you know? So that's what rhetoric is. Look it up online.
It was the worst class ever.
Really?
Oh my gosh.
took a class on what was that though?
We did history of text. Like, right. So
from
we did a lot of like.
To MacBooks.
Yeah, but it was kind of as tedious as at the time it was. It's kind of cool to go back and look into, like, literally from. Like the very early stages of, I mean, it was like writing in stone, like papyrus, like all the way up to like the progression.
Yeah.
So we did some cool things. And then we did classes where, I mean, I created a website for one of my classes and.
They weren't just writing papers on Shakespeare.
No.
Nice.
Yeah,
I see. Rhetoric is the art of effective or persuasive speaking or writing. Okay. So especially the use of figures. Figures of speech and other never mind. It doesn't matter. Okay, rhetoric is the art of effective persuasion.
We graduate.
Okay, whatever.
Yeah, I graduated. I don't care what that word means.
Exactly. Who cares?
I passed the class. That was all I wanted. It was a great major.
Yeah.
I'm very glad that I took that and didn't, because you can commute from Florida State to FAMU, which, is that, what is that?
Florida
A&M.
Okay.
It's like a school in Tallahassee.
They have a good journalism
and
school,
yeah, they
though.
Have a good journalism
Very
school.
Good.
So you could make that commute, but
yeah.
I don't know. I'm glad I didn't. It was a great major. It really
well
was.
Well-rounded.
Yeah.
Cool.
Mm-hmm.
So how did you guys meet in college? Were you also a swimmer?
No, I was a swimmer from... I don't know, the time I was like 8 until I graduated high school.
Oh, wow.
But I didn't swim in college.
You didn't go into the swimming program.
But through people that she lived in the dorms, I actually came a semester before Sarah Ashley went to school. But she lived in the dorms with a lot of the swimmers that went on to the swim team, were freshmen on the swim team. So that's how we all met.
Mm.
And then we lived together senior year.
Wow.
And yeah.
So this is cool. I mean, you know, there's nothing like friends from college, huh? I mean,
no.
It's like, so you guys hit it off right away and stuff. Were you like partying a lot in school and stuff? I mean, Charlotte said it's a party school, but.
It is.
Yeah.
Pretty sure it's like number 2.
Yeah.
It's, really?
I don't think we're number 1 anymore.
How did they measure the party school? Yeah.
We're number 1, yeah. I think it's West Virginia, the top one. I think it
could
be.
Penn State.
Yeah.
I'm kind of curious.
The cold states.
Wow.
They have nothing else to do. They're
That's
like,
true.
Okay, let's drink and keep warm.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe they count how many 6-packs or 12-packs go into the college, you know? And that's how they decide what a party school
Florida
is.
Florida State's a very good, when you say 6-packs, it's a very good-looking school.
Yeah?
Like, the males and the females are just very beautiful.
It's an attractive school.
It is a very attractive school.
Wow. They should move it to L.A. then.
USC and UCLA, they seem, I would think that they would be pretty, like, pretty
They're pretty
people.
Up there in party schools, too, I think.
They are,
UCLA and USC are.
Yeah.
I could see that.
I don't know the stats, but.
Yeah. And I'm not sure everybody's good looking there, but, you know, I mean.
But Florida State is, everyone's just beautiful. I mean, the girls are just stunning.
Wow.
They really are.
You should have told me that when I was 20 years old, not now. I can't use that information now. But I'll make sure to tell my son. I'm sure.
He needs to take a trip to Tallahassee.
Yeah. Wow. So you were born in Florida and stuff.
I was.
Do you have siblings?
I have a little brother who's actually at Florida State right now.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he's on spring break.
What's he doing right now? Spring break's huge in Florida.
Really?
Like, oh my gosh, huge.
I'm on my adult spring break right now.
Yeah.
Like, you so go this, on a cruise or...
Yeah, I mean, Daytona Beach do, and stuff.
Yeah, Panama City's a really big one.
Key West is pretty big
Key
this
West
year.
Is really big. Like,
yeah, I love Key West. It's amazing there, huh?
Yeah.
So a lot of young people go there for the spring break and stuff?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow.
It's all... And when wherever you go, if you say you go to Panama City with like 20 of your friends, guaranteed that five other groups of Florida State people are there.
Really?
That you know. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. It's fun. It's
wow,
fun.
And the life.
It is. And it's cool because everywhere you go, you know someone.
Right.
Everyone's very, like, it's like a big family. Like, everyone knows everyone, I feel,
oh,
at Florida State.
Oh, when you meet
State.
Someone wow. just out and about that went to Florida State.
Yeah.
Oh, instant friends.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's crazy.
And maybe it's like that with other schools, but I don't know. I loved Florida State.
Yeah,
it was
huh?
a great school.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Everyone
wow.
wants to go there now.
Sounds
after
like
football
it.
Season.
Yeah, yeah, after football season, people want to go there now.
Yeah, of course.
After Jameis killed it.
Yeah. For those of you just joining us, we have Sarah Ashley in the studio, and she's Charlotte's best friend and visiting from Florida. What did I want to ask you? Oh, did you ever think of moving to L.A.? Do you have any desire to?
There was a time in high school. My dad used to live in San Francisco,
okay.
so I used to come visit California a lot. That I did want to go to school out here, but it never happened.
No, it didn't happen as far as school. But what about now?
I think my parents would kill me.
Really? Come on. You're
like
after college. Your parents will live. No, but
I would love her to move out here.
Yeah. No, you got to think of your future and your career. If you think you can make it better here, I'm sure your parents will bless you. And yeah,
they would. At the end of the day, they would.
Yeah, they would. Yeah.
After the shock wore off.
Yeah, exactly. But if you tell them, hey, your daughter's going to make a killing in L.A., they'll go, okay, go.
They would.
Try it out. Yeah. So, I mean, are you like a creative type also? Does L.A. entertainment interest you at all?
Not so much.
No.
I know, back to our major... Charlotte was good with the broadcasting and
right.
the...
Yeah.
I was good with the writing.
Okay. Yeah, we had but different specialities.
Wow. Nice.
I can communicate well with a pencil.
Yeah. So do you write like now? I mean...
No, I don't.
You don't?
No.
Okay. Even for fun, you don't?
No, I did a little bit of copywriting for the company I worked for. We redid the website, so uh-huh. I did a little bit of copy for that. But no.
No, huh?
Not so much.
I've always
anymore.
Wanted to keep a journal.
Yeah.
I did when I was 10 years old, and
right.
my family lived in America for my dad got a scholarship program with NYPD. So we lived out here, and that's the only thing my mom made me do. She's
really?
Like, you have to keep a journal. And uh-huh. she, like, I mean, my English went from I don't even think I could spell, like, very well to
wow.
being amazing. Like, my mom, like, taught me so much. But I kept a journal. Every day I wrote something in this journal. It was probably only like 5 or 6 sentences a day.
Right.
But looking back on that now, I mean, it's... Oh, I think it's like a year
right.
That I have this journal. And it's like, wow.
Yeah.
Like, these are great memories. Having
they really are.
Yeah. Having a journal is such an awesome thing to have.
Yeah.
Because you can just look back. And I wish we'd had one in college. Like, that would have been so much fun.
Right.
Even just after, like... random weekends, I just wrote something down of, like, what happened.
Right.
To go back. Because, I mean, we have so many memories. All we did yesterday was reminisce
really?
About
that's
good times.
Cool, huh?
But it's like, if we had a journal of everything we did,
right.
then we wouldn't forget anything.
That's
you know?
True.
And you can, like, look back and... Anyway, maybe I'll start a journal
yeah.
today.
Yeah, you should, you know.
Day one of the L.A. trip.
Yeah.
Start with that.
Yeah, with the lost ski and the mud and the rocks.
I don't think we'll be forgetting that one.
Oh, wow. You see, she promised adventures, probably, so she...
I did.
There will be adventures.
And it was all... And we took so many photos. I love photos. I just take so many. And this morning, I think we said... Wow, we took so many photos, and it's only day one.
Wow, very cool. So, is this your first time in LA, though?
No.
Oh, you've been here before?
I was here probably last time, maybe 15.
Oh, okay. So you don't remember a lot,
then
you didn't experience it in the same way.
I did the touristy stuff.
Right. But you definitely have to go to Venice Beach. Have you been there before?
I have.
You have. But you were 15 years old.
So it won't be the same.
No, it won't be the same. So you got to go there.
I think we're going to do that on Monday, I think, because it's St. Patrick's Day.
That's true.
So I think I'm that's what I'm thinking, like Santa Monica, Venice area.
Right.
I think that would be fun.
Either that or even, I mean, the weekend really is the best because then, you know, everybody comes out and stuff.
Yeah, true.
And you see all the characters and everything. It's just amazing, you know. But it's, yeah, it's a lot of fun.
Muscle Beach. Yeah.
Muscle Beach. You'll get to see muscle. And not the kind you eat either, you know.
But, that made me hungry.
Yeah.
The muscles, the food. Oh, yeah. My gosh.
They do have a lot of cool food there, you know, like junk food, but it's good.
California is a great food state.
It really is,
it
huh?
Is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Have you traveled other places?
Not so much. I've been to D.C. and New York City, Boston, one of my favorite
cities.
Okay,
so you've been around.
Been in the Caribbean. Would love to go to Europe.
Yeah.
Europe
is nice. But, yeah, but the Caribbean is fun, you know. I mean, I took a cruise there, and I had the best time,
it's
you know.
It's so much fun.
It really is, you know. But today, I mean, with all these ships with the disease breaking out and stuff like that.
And
I mean,
with
on.
Them breaking down.
Yeah.
My friend just went on a 2-day cruise out of Long Beach. I don't know where she was going.
Probably Mexico.
And the cruise ship broke down.
Really?
And they were stranded at sea.
Wow.
Until they fixed and it's like, what?
Wow.
That's not okay.
No.
The ship is just breaking down.
I know. Take me back home.
But Carnival cruise ships, like so many of them are breaking, especially the ones out of Florida.
Really?
I think mainly the ones out of Orlando, Fort Lauderdale area.
Last year they had big issues
so,
with that.
Yeah.
I went on a cruise when that one went missing.
Really?
Or oh, not missing.
No, it was like
it broke down like in the middle and they
right and then they had to tow it. Yeah,
like, I was on a cruise during that.
Really?
Like, oh, that's scary. But talking about missing, we read last night about the flight. My computer's died, but what did we read that they when the what's it called, the
transponder,
yeah, that was turned off,
right?
They still traveled for 5 hours after that.
That's what I was
miles.
Hearing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. And now they're saying they may have landed on an island
and
or something. Yeah.
Like
yeah,
they,
yeah.
Yeah.
Like Lost or something. You know, a real Lost.
But it goes back to this is if that's someone's holding everyone hostage, it's terrorism.
Yeah. No, I don't think anybody's holding them hostage. I mean, if anything, they would be maybe on a secluded island where they can't communicate or something.
That's
I don't
crazy.
Know. But, yeah, but all of this is theory, you know. We don't really know
what's going on. I think something fishy is going on.
Yeah, I know.
I heard they flew into a black hole. So.
It's like theories galore.
Yeah, or
the
aliens
media is
or
loving this story because they can just think up whatever they want and people will believe it. There's so many theories.
I know. I remember there was one James Bond movie. I can't remember the name of it, but they were like stealing Russian and American satellites. So it was like, you know, almost like, and they would disappear. You know, they had like this big like spaceship or something.
Uh-huh.
And this was a James Bond movie, right? But it pretty futuristic. And so those spaceships or rockets or satellites, they just disappeared. And they were taken to like inside a volcano and stuff. I mean that was
crazy.
Like a whole story and stuff. But the thing is that maybe something like that happened.
I
you know?
Firmly believe that these movies, people get ideas of
they
what
do,
they're
huh?
going to do next, terrorism wise, like government wise, robot wise. Like I literally think the movies are. Like the grounding force for what's going to happen in the future.
That's true.
People are getting ideas. Oh, we can do that.
Yeah.
Don't try to create a James Bond movie.
Yeah, don't do that. But yeah, I loved James Bond when I was a kid. I mean, it was like it came out of nowhere and it was such a, like it defined a certain genre in movies, you know.
I've only watched a couple of them. And I don't know the names of them. They all kind of merge into one for me.
Yeah, that's true. They all have similar names.
Yeah,
you know? Like
yeah.
Goldfinger, GoldenEye.
Okay, that's I think I've seen Goldfinger. But then at the same time, I was thinking of Goldmember, which is Austin
the
Powers,
Austin
right?
Powers
yeah.
one, yeah. So which I'm, makes fun of it, yeah. That's why they call it Goldmember.
Yeah. I like the Austin Powers movies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know,
good
those
ones.
Are fun.
Yeah.
Well, this is amazing. Well, we are out of time. Sarah Ashley, thank you so much for
thank
joining us.
Thank you for having me.
By the time you come back here, maybe you'll come back on Monday. You know, we'll...
More stories.
Yeah, but by then I will have gotten used to saying your name and everything, you know? It's really a long name, you know, but it's beautiful. I mean, I like Sarah. I love Ashley. So going together, what the heck, you know? There's probably only one that goes by both names at the same time.
I don't know any other Sarah.
Neither do I. That's true.
Yeah. But you know what it means? It's easy for people to find you on Facebook, right?
Oh, yeah.
Creepus status. Everyone's adding you on Facebook.
20 friend requests.
I know. It's like, you know, when I meet someone new, I don't give her like my Facebook right away because you want to make sure that you like them, you know?
But then I also want to check Facebook because I want to make sure that they're not like a serial killer or crazy. Right. Or so I like doing the Facebook stalking, but I always just get their last name so I can look at it.
Yeah, exactly.
Without friend requesting them.
I know, but how do you ask for the last name without sounding like suspicious, you know?
It's hard.
Yeah.
It's hard.
Yeah, like go, hey, what's your last name? You know, I want to look
to
you up.
To do it subtly. It's really hard.
Right.
Yeah.
But it's cool when you meet people that have a unique name, first name, then you meet them right away, you know. So,
and it's all about the mutual friends. If you know someone that's friends with them, it's...
Right.
I'm a really good stalker on Facebook. I don't know if I should admit that.
All right. Well, this is it for today, and we're going to have a great weekend. I'm sure you guys are going to have a lot of fun. And yeah, I mean, do you have a man in your life, or are you looking? Are you going to be partying?
Yes.
Okay. Okay.
Bring
yes.
It on.
Yes, for both questions. Okay. All right. Well, thanks everybody for joining us. Thank you, Charlotte.
Thank you.
And see everybody on Monday.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Charlotte, right here on LA Talk Radio.